recapitulate what we have done yesterday, and so we will use some of these formulas. So we started with the Landau-Ginzburg functional, which is over here. And I told you that this strictly speaking, you can just, you know, consider this to be the right thing only in four dimensions. So only in four dimensions, what you have written down here is all you can write down. If you are in lower dimensions than d equal to 4, then you could start adding more terms, and the corresponding coupling constants would be still relevant. So, but in four dimensions, this is all you can write down. And so we sort of effectively say, we are in four dimensions, and let's consider this theory here. So now, the first step, or the idea of renormalization, is to say, well, I split everything into slow and fast modes, meaning that the phi is defined either for small k or for large k. So now the problem is for small k, where you have various divergences and stuff like that. So you have infrared divergences. And so you want to avoid actually doing the path integral over the slow modes. And so the idea is that you proceed by steps, and you always integrate in each step only over the fast modes. And there is no problem integrating over the fast modes. And so effectively, you are just changing this full partition function to an integral over the slow modes of some changed effective action S tilde. So if you want, this equation here is just a definition of what your new S tilde is. Okay, so that's the definition of S tilde. However, you can argue that, again, if you are in four dimensions, the only thing which is relevant, the only couplings which are relevant and the only thing which you can write down in four dimensions is that this S tilde F of slow modes has to have the form basically of the Landau-Ginzburg functional, except now you can have changed coupling constant. So I can have, so this is in the k-space, but this r0 would of course correspond to this guy here, and this r2 tilde would correspond to this coupling constant 1/2, and then this r4 is of course u. Okay, so this is what you have to have after you integrate over the fast modes, because all the other terms are simply irrelevant and you just throw them away. So this is what you have to have. So now what you require is that typically you want to set this coefficient equal to 1. So you want to bring it now back to the original form. So you rescale the momenta, and then you also have to rescale the fields. And so if you do that, and require that this coefficient which stands in front of k square equals to 1, you find that the rescaling of the fields is precisely like that. Also, we define a parameter eta, which we called anomalous dimension, which was just a definition of eta, what it means. So for any fixed beta, which is bigger, for any fixed b, which is bigger than 1, we just define eta so that it's given by what you find in this function S tilde. Okay, and so after we do this, we actually recover exactly the same Landau-Ginzburg functional as we had before, except now, so we set this guy equal to 1 as previously, but now we can have different coupling r tilde and different coupling u tilde. And so these are related to what you find from this S tilde by these formulas here. So this is what we derived yesterday. So really, so now, of course, this effectively means that after each step, I'm just changing the coupling constants from r and u to r tilde and u tilde after each step. So you'll get some algebraic relation. And of course, this is only if we actually know what these r0 tilde and r4 tilde are explicitly. Okay, so now this will be today's task to actually calculate what these r0 tilde and r4 tilde are. So by comparing with what this S tilde looks like explicitly when we calculate it, when we integrate over the fast modes. And then the r tilde and u tilde are given by these formulas here. So now why do we care is, I tried to explain that if you have fixed points, that means that you find, we may find such thing that after you keep repeating this step, actually the couplings do not change any longer. That's what a fixed point is. So typically this will correspond either to the face or to our critical point where the phase transition happens. Okay, and so this is why we care, and we will see how to apply that tomorrow. Okay, so our today's task is really to find this S tilde explicitly. So we know it has to have that form, but let's do the integration over the fast modes explicitly, read off what this R4 tilde and R0 tilde and R2 tilde are. Okay, and so for that, you use the cumulant expansion, which is valid for any random variable omega. And it probably reminds you some formula which you have seen in linear algebra or something like that. So typically when you have, well, that doesn't matter. Okay, so this formula can be proved. It's proved in the appendix of the study text. It's just, you know, a few lines proof. I'm not going to do it here, just believe it. But if you don't believe it, look in the appendix. Okay? So now, if you apply this thing here, what I also derived yesterday is that the S tilde of the slow modes, by using this formula here, is simply given by the non-interacting part of your Landau's function for the slow modes. And then the average over the fast modes of the interacting part. And then, of course, there's this thing here. So it's minus 1/2. And then S interacting square. And then minus S interacting square. OK, so this will be our master formula for how to find this S tilde. And so we will do it in steps. So let's call this to be a zeros order approximation to our S tilde. Of course, we know what that is. It's very simple. This one we call a first order. And then this is pain, second order. You'll see if you have enough time to actually calculate that one. But at least I'll motivate what we are getting there. Okay, so let's start doing this work. So once we know S tilde, we can read off the couplings and we know the recursion relation between RU and R tilde U tilde. Okay, so in the zeroth order, I said that's trivial. So S 0 phi slow is just the non-interacting part for the slow modes. So it's just 1/2 integral over k. And then lambda over b. So by the way, I'm just too lazy to write this ddk1 to ddk4 and divided by 2 pi to power d, 2 pi to power d, and so on. So I just write integral over k1, and it will not be really. So this is dk over 2 pi to power d. And then it's k square plus r pi k square. Okay, so this is, and so we are done with the zeroth order, so that was simple. We have the formula for a zero. So now let's start doing the first order. And so for the first order, you know that we have to deal with this S interacting, and then we have to average over the fast modes of the S interacting. So let's see first what is this S interacting thing. Okay, so this is U over 4 factorial, integral over k1 to k4. And then we have phi, 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 so from phi to the 4. And each of them we split into the slow modes and the fast modes. Okay, so we have phi slow of k1 plus phi fast of k1 times. And the same thing, phi slow of 2, phi fast of 2, and so on, phi slow of 4 plus phi fast of 4. Okay, and then you have this delta 2 pi to power d, and this delta sum over ki. Okay, so this is how your S interacting looks like. And so you have quite a few terms. because for each phi you have actually two terms, and so you just have to split it, you know, into what you are getting here. So you have u over 4 factorial, and then this integral k1 to k4, and then that delta function is still there, 2 pi to power d, and the delta. Okay, and now you have terms, for example, where everything is slow. Okay, so you have to multiply, you know, these brackets through. And so, for example, we have pi slow 1, pi slow 2, pi slow 3, pi slow 4. So that's one term. Okay. Then we have a term where you have fast ones. Okay, then you have a term pi fast 1, pi fast 2, pi fast 3, pi fast 4. Okay, so then we have a term where we have some slow and some fast. So if you have, let's say, one slow, then you have, the terms are similar. So you have 4 of those where one is slow and 3 are fast. Okay, so then you have plus 4 times, let's say, this one is slow, but the others are fast. Fast 2, pi fast 3, pi fast 4. Okay. Then you have 4 terms where it's only 1 fast and 3 slow. Okay. That's another possible term. And then finally, you have terms where you have 2 slow and 2 fast. And so there is 6 of those. So 6 times phi 1, phi slow 1, phi slow 2, phi fast 3, phi fast 4. Okay. So this is when you multiply everything out, what you are getting for the S interacting part. So now remember what we want to do. We just want to we want to integrate over the fast modes. So if you denote, let's say, this thing here, term A, thing here, term B, this thing here, term C, D and E, so now we want to integrate over the fast modes. So for example, if I'm looking at this term B, which has only fast modes and no slow modes, so then if I integrate over fast modes, that means I integrate everything out and I just get a number. There is no slow mode left. So this guy just gives you a number. This guy just gives you a number, and we don't care typically about numbers, right? So this thing, there's no slow modes left because everything is fast, and I integrate over the fast modes, all of them. So this is not interesting. On the other hand, this guy here, it's only slow. So if I integrate over fast, I get a number, but this guy actually survives there. So this actually don't need to do anything, basically. Don't need to do anything, it's just the term which survives. Do anything, it survives as it is. Okay, so term A is fine, we don't have to do any work. Term B is fine because we don't have to do any work, it's just a number and we throw it away. Okay, so now we have terms C, D, and E. This is how the S interacting thing looks like. But now we have to do the average over this thing. Okay? So you'll see that when you do the average, actually the terms C and D go away. And so that's good. And only the term E actually contributes. So the term E is the only one which we'll have to do some work. Okay, so why is that? So now, remember, that doing the average means, so how we define, so when we were writing this formula here, we define what we meant by average, and I told you something like, I have something here, and then you average over the fast modes, but what it means, well, it was just a shortcut for 1 over z0, and then defi fast e to minus s0 phi fast, and then whatever stands here. So where this z0 is just the same thing as all that. So z0 is just defi fast ES0 phi fast. Okay, so this is what we mean by the average, is that basically we, whatever we want to average, we just plug it into this integral here, and then integrate over the non-interacting part for fast modes, and divide by this thing here. So that's how we define the average. Okay, so now, if you had QFT2 already, you would immediately know the answer for all these averages, but you didn't. So you can read the appendix A in the study text. But so, for example, if you want to average, you want to average phi fast 3, phi fast 4. Okay, so this is what we want to do. So then this is just given by 1 over z0 of d phi fast 3, phi fast 4, e to minus s0. And so I just have to write down what s0 means for the fast modes. So it's the non-interacting part. But remember, we are integrating over the fast mode. So in the momentum space, we are integrating from lambda over b to lambda. So d dk, 2 pi to power d, and then k square plus r, and then phi fast of k square. So this is what we have to do. So now you can think about this guy. So it's, you can approximately think about it like phi times matrix times phi. Okay. So this is the matrix, basically. Oh, it's not really. It's delta kk prime. I would have phi k prime, and then I'll have matrix kk prime. However, this is an infinite dimensional space. And so then what this guy really is a Gaussian integration. And you're integrating something here. Well, I'll not delay whatever the result is. So the statement is that this thing here is just a path integral representation of the two-point function, which you are very familiar with in your QFT1 course. Okay, so read it in the appendix if you want to see all the details. But you know, just be satisfied that this thing here is really nothing else than the two-point function. And this thing is nothing else than the Gaussian integration for this matrix A, where the matrix A is actually an operator, k squared plus r. So then what really enters here is something like 1 over a determinant, 1 over a or something like that. So the result is really the propagator as you know it, or a two-point function in the QFT. So this QFT 1 and 2, we'll wait for that. So we get that this is the propagator of K3, and then 2 pi to power d, and then delta K3, K4, where this G0 of K is just what you know from your scalar field. So it's just k square plus r. Okay, so this is what you get when you integrate over fast modes of a two-point function. So what you also know from your QFT course is the Wick's theorem, right? So Wick's theorem . So now you've shown Wick's theorem again using, I don't know, canonical quantization. It's much easier to show it using this representation here. But basically what it means is that if I have, you know, a many point function, so I have, I don't know, six things, then I can always divide it into 2 point times 2 point times 2 point and so on. And then you sum over all possible combinations, over all possible contractions. Okay, so Wick's theorem. So you're like multi-point interactions. To a product of 2 point interactions. So what you really need to know is how the two-point interaction looks like. And we know it. It's this one here. So because it's a product of two-point interactions, it's obvious that if you have an odd number of interactions, you cannot decompose it into two-point interactions, and it's zero. So practically, phi 1 phi k, where k is odd, has to be equal to zero. Okay. So just, you know, recall your QFT course. Very good. So now it's obvious why the terms C and D actually disappear. So what we have to really do here is that we have to, for example, in term C, we have to average over the fast modes. So the slow mode doesn't do anything. And so if you're averaging over this thing, it's just averaging over the fast modes here. But there are three of them. Okay, so I cannot decompose it into a product of two-point things. And that's why this guy actually goes zero. So this guy will go to zero. Similarly here, again, I'm averaging over the fast ones. So these are slow. The average doesn't do anything to them. But the average will do that. And so it's a one-point thing, and that goes to zero. So as a consequence, so consequently, then C and D do not contribute. And so it's the only term E which contributes. And only E is really interesting. Okay. So are you happy with this? Or okay. So it's good that it's sort of, you know, talks to the QFT course. Okay, so now to talk even more with the QFT course, people, when calculate these things, of course, they use Feynman diagrams. Okay, so let's simplify our life by using diagrammatic notation. Probably the only way how Feynman could actually calculate anything, just draw pictures. So we have the following Feynman diagrams. So first of all, we have an interaction vertex, which precisely corresponds to this S interacting. So there is a coupling constant u over 4 factorial standing in the interaction vertex. And then we have 4 lines coming together. Okay, so, well, I should have started with this. So first we have like 2 types of particles. We have fast particles and slow particles. We have fast modes and slow modes. So let's use this line for fast modes. And this line for slow modes. Okay. Then we have an interaction vertex here. So we have K1, K2, K3, K2, K3, K4. And so this is nothing else than u over 4 factorial. And so there's this stupid factor 2 pi to power d. But also, you know that the momentum in the interaction vertex has to be conserved, which is precisely this thing here. Right? So e 2 pi to power d delta of sum over ki. Okay. So that's the interaction vertex which we have. That corresponds to S interacting. Finally, we need to know what actually averaging is doing. Okay, so process of averaging. And so we see in this example here is that really if you want to average over the fast modes of a 2-point function, what you are really getting is a propagator for that. And moreover, the 2 modes have to have the same momenta. So I actually create a loop. If I had 2 modes like that, so the process of averaging actually connects them together and creates a loop with this propagator G0. Okay, so process of averaging means connecting 2 fast modes. So in other words, if you have, for example, would be I have something which is 2 slow modes and then 2 fast ones, and you want to average that over the fast ones, okay, then all you have to do is just connect this guy with that guy. Okay, so this is equal to something like that. And so this bubble where the loop over the fast modes is nothing else what we calculated here. It's just G0. So if there is some momentum here, k, so it's G0 of k, n times 2 pi to power d. So if I have, originally, if I have k1 and then k2, then this k would be delta k1 plus k2. So let me put k1 here, and then these have to be the same momenta. So that's why it's k1 plus k2. All right, so now we know all the rules that are to be known for our calculation. And so let's just calculate what's really happening. Well, let's first draw the picture of what's happening with this S interacting. So S interacting, so what does it equal to? If you look at this expansion here, then you know that there is the slow modes, there's a product of slow modes, and there's a product of slow and fast modes, and the product of fast modes. And all of them are interacting with this vertex u. Okay? So that is no surprise. That S interacting can simply be written as a vertex with the slow modes plus vertex with the fast ones plus four times, we have two slow and two fast. We have one slow and three fast. So one slow and three slow and one fast. Plus four times, three fast and one slow. And plus six times, something like this. Okay, so this is precisely what is written there, but now in the diagrammatic notation. So now if you want to average over this, you just connect the lines. Okay, so now as interacting is, well, I cannot connect anything here because everything is slow. So this guy actually survives. Okay, there's nothing to connect. I can only connect the dotted lines, not the full ones. Okay, so here I connect. So you would get something like this, which doesn't have any slow external legs. It's a number. Plus, so now this guy here, I would like to connect the dotted lines, but I can't do that. There's only one of them. So plus zero out of this guy. Similarly here, I can connect two, but there's one left, which I cannot connect with anything. So plus zero. And then finally plus six times. And let me turn it to the side as this guy here. Okay. So this gives me a number. It's not interesting. And this we keep as is. And so the only work we have to do is that one here. But now we have the beautiful diagrammatic notation. So we can easily write down what that six times of that bubble is. So six times of that bubble. So six times, let me introduce some momenta here. So I'll have k1, k2, k3, and k4, and k4 here. And so we know that there is a vertex here. So there is u over 4 factorial, but there is six of those. So six times u over 4 factorial. Okay. So now we integrate over the momenta. So there's all possible momentum here. And then we have in that vertex, we have the 2 pi to the power d and delta k1, k2, k3, k4. So this is still the vertex thing. So now we have two slow modes here. So there's one here, and there is another one here, which I said, well, I represented by that line, but what it really means is that I have phi slow. Okay. So this thing simply means that I have phi slow of that given k. So that's what the notation means. So then I see two slow modes here. So I have phi slow of k1 and phi slow of k2. Phi slow k1, phi slow of k2. And then I see that actually I connected during the averaging the k3 and k4 modes, which are the fast ones. By connecting, I'm getting precisely this loop here with the corresponding propagator. So then that will be g0 of, say, k3, and then 2 pi to power d, and then delta k3 plus k4. So this thing is the loop. This thing is that guy plus that guy. And this thing is the vortex. Well, this thing here. Okay, so that's what it is. So So now you see that despite having four integrals, I have two delta functions to play with. So in the end, I'll have only two integrals left. So first of all, you know that k3 plus k4 has to be equal to 0. And if k3 plus k4 equals to 0, then also k1 plus k2 has to be equal to 0, right, from the other delta function. So if you introduce, if you call, well, k1 must be equal to minus k2, and let's call it k. And similarly, k3 has to be equal to minus k4, and let's call it q. Okay, so then we actually effectively can do the integrals over, you know, one of these things. So we have 6 times u over 4 factorial actually gives you u over 4. So u over 4, as the prefactor simplified. And now we employ the two delta functions, kill two integrals. And so in the end, we have only integral over k and q. So now k1 we called k, so we have phi slow of k. And then phi slow of minus k, which is this thing here. And then we have g0 of q. And that's it. Okay. Happy times. Calculation is simple. So now you see that actually the integration factorizes. And so in the end, you have something which has two slow modes times something which is an integral over q. Right? So I can write this as u over 4 integral over q g0 of q times the integral over k phi slow k square. Okay, so now let's denote this by I. And it's just some number. You know, you have something which you integrate, which is a function of q, and you integrate it over q. And remember, this is for the fast mode. So this is a propagator of the fast mode. So q here is large. Okay. And if we do that, we just have something which is left with two legs and some number here. Okay. So now, what is this I? It's very simple. Because we are integrating only over the fast modes, and we can do lots of approximations. So this I here, the fast modes. So that's why I'm integrating from lambda over b to lambda. And of course, d dq, q pi to the power d, and then g0q. But I know that g0q is just 1 over q squared plus r, right? So now you see that g0q actually only depends on the magnitude of q. So I can go to spherical coordinates and integrate this in a spherical coordinate. So it's lambda over b to lambda. And then in d dimensions, the spherical coordinates are simply the area of the sphere times q to d minus 1 dq, and then we have q square plus r. So now if I'm very, very clever, I choose b to be, well, it has to be bigger than 1, but it can be only teeny tinily bigger than 1, right? So I do a really, really small step. Right, I only integrate over the fast modes, but they are really, you know, almost lambda thing. So then you can use an approximation that if you know that if you integrate fx dx from a to b, and if you know that the limits of a and b are very, very close to each other, well, you can simply evaluate that as f of b times b minus a. Okay, so this is if the limits are very, very close, and just take the value of the function and multiply by the length of the interval. This is precisely what I'll do here. So actually the length of the interval, okay. So here I have lambda and lambda over b. Let me parameterize this b as a, okay, it's different b. This was a stupid thing. So a to c, c and c, okay. So this b here, which I have, has to be bigger than one. But I can parameterize it as e to some delta l, where delta l is small. So if this is true, then b is bigger than one. Okay. So if you do that, so then you may be asking, what is the length of the interval of lambda minus lambda over b? So that's the length of the interval which we have here. And you just find the miraculous formula is just lambda times delta l. Okay. If you just plug it here, you do the expansion of the exponential in small delta l, then the length of the interval is just lambda times delta l. All right. So then this is just simply given by lambda times delta l, which is the length of the interval, times the function where I plug for q lambda. That'll be sd divided by 2 pi to the power d, and then lambda to d minus 1 divided by lambda square plus r. Okay, so this lambda I can put here to just make it more compact. But so this is the result for the integral I, using the fact that I can be clever, I can do very, very small step. So delta L is really, really close to zero. And using another step that I'm really integrating only over the fast modes. Is this clear? Okay, so then this is beautiful. So if we can summarize what's happening with the first order. So now what I don't need is this thing. So in the zeros order, we had that. And in the first order, we have this thing here. We have the first one, which we keep as is. This is just these lines here. And this is a number which we throw away. This is zero, this is zero. And then we have six times that. And we know what that is now. Okay. So let's put it together. So we have that as interacting. As interacting is this plus six times that. Okay. And so this thing just gives us u over 4 factorial pi phi phi phi. And this thing just gives us u over 4 times this integral I, which we calculated over there, times integral of phi phi. So if you put zeros and first order together, so zeros plus first order, what we get is that our s tilde phi slow is, well, 1/2. And then over k. This term contributes only to the phi phi term. It doesn't contribute to the term phi phi k square. Right? There's no k square here. Right? So the k square term just comes from this guy here. Okay. So then we have 1 times k square. Plus, now putting this r here, plus this guy here, u over 2 times I. Slow k square. So that's the thing which has two external legs, and plus the term which has four external legs, which, however, there is no correction to that. So it's just this thing here. So this is that. So k1, k4, 2 pi d, delta function. And then all these slow modes. Y1, and so this is the result of the calculation. This is how your function, how your new S tilde looks like after, you know, in the zeros order and first order approximation. Just putting these two things together. Okay, very good. So now, which is the result of the calculation. All we have to do now is really to read off what are our R0 tilde and R2 tilde. So this is the form we predicted for our S tilde. So we see, so comparing by that expression here with our actual expression after the calculation, we can read off. So read off. That R2 tilde, well, that's something which stands in front of k square, and it's 1. We know that R0 tilde is this guy here. So R0 tilde is R plus u over 2. Times the integral which you calculated there. And finally, R4 tilde is just u. Oh, this is R4 tilde. Okay. Okay, so that's what we can read off immediately by comparing this with what we required. So now, this is good. Remember, if you look at this thing here, so we defined our eta, our animal's dimension, be simply R2 tilde b to power eta. So this must be b to power eta. B is bigger than 1. What is eta? 0. Excellent. So from here, you land that eta, the animal's dimension, in the zero and first order perturbation theory, the animal's dimension actually is 0. So we are not picking any fractal dimension. Okay. So we have that. So now what we also know is the middle table. Okay. So now we know that if we do this transformation of the momenta to k times v and the wave function renormalization, and we know that the actual new coupling constants after we do that is this r tilde and u tilde. Okay, so we know that r tilde is given by b to 2 minus eta, which is 0, times r0 tilde. So it's given by b square r plus u over 2 times e. So that's our new coupling constant r tilde. And then our new coupling constant u tilde is given by 4 minus d minus 0, b 4 minus d minus 0 times r 4 tilde. And so it's b to 4 minus d. Okay, so this is this is what actually is the recursion relation which we require. So we see that we have some new coupling constants R tilde and U tilde as a function. Well, at this point, they are still functions of this B, but they are also functions of this mode coupling R and all coupling U. U. Sorry, it's U here. Are there any questions, comments? Everything is simple.
Question.
Yeah?
Does the next term in the series go like delta L squared?
You mean if I do the second order or if I do?
Yeah.
No, we'll see that. No, but yeah, we will not need to expand. You always assume that delta L is small. So we will need not to expand to delta L squared. Rather, we will expand in small epsilon thing.
Okay.
Yeah. You will see. Okay, so we conclude that we have the following relations between R tilde, U tilde, and R and U, which I'll call a normalization group, recursion relations. And these were derived to first order. And then they are given by whatever I was writing there. So R tilde is B square R plus U over 2 times I. And then U tilde is B to 4 minus D times U. So RG recursion relations. So this is what we derived. So now this is beautiful. It's an algebraic equation between R and U and R tilde and U tilde. So what people typically like more is that, well, algebraic relations in general are difficult to deal with. So let's turn them to a differential equations. And so, for example, R tilde given by this thing here. So now I'll parameterize B again as e to delta. Okay, so we have e to 2 delta L times R plus U to I. So now I make an expansion in small delta. So this is 1 plus 2 times delta L times this thing. And so this is equal to, well, R plus 2 delta L times R plus U over 2 times I. And then in principle, you could have a term 2 delta L U over 2 times I. But we will see that that term actually is already of the higher order. So plus dot, dot, dot. So I'll just keep these three terms. And then you have, so from here, you are finding the dr over the L. So you move, so you have R tilde minus R, divide everything by delta L. So this is R tilde minus R delta L, if you want. That's the definition. And so what you are finding is that this is 2R plus U over 2I delta L. And so you have to look at, where is it? Oh, it's here. So this is our I. right? So I is delta L times this thing here. So now if you divide it by delta L, it's just this thing here. Okay, so it's just SD lambda D 2 pi D lambda squared plus R. So let's plug it here. So this is just equal to 2R plus U over 2 SD over 2 pi D and then lambda 2 power D lambda squared plus R. And similarly, you would find what du is. So this is dr over dr over dl. And similarly, you would find that du over dl is equal to 4 minus d times u, which is epsilon times u. Okay, so this is, if you want, a differential form of these RG relations. So here I just use that the epsilon is 4 minus d as we defined it previously. Okay, so this is what we derived to the first order. So now, more generally, people for any coupling G, so for a coupling G, people would say that we are getting relations like dg over dl is equal to, and now people call it beta g. And then, of course, g can be a vector, whatever, then this would be a matrix. And so this beta g is called beta function. So I have a collaborator, we are writing a paper on something, and he likes to use beta everywhere. I don't know for what reason. And so I told him, well, I'm completely confused. I don't see why you still use these beta functions. And he just uses it as a Taylor expansion. So instead of x, he's just using beta for some reason. And I said, well, I'm very confused now. I'm teaching statistical physics course. Why are you using beta functions there? Okay, so this beta g is the beta function for the corresponding coupling constant g. So in our, so we derive that this is beta r and this is beta u, if you want. Okay, so just a notation, it's called beta function. Of course, now in this thing, it's very easy to see what the fixed point is. So the fixed point is when under this, you know, repeated process, g does not change anymore. So that means it's fine then when dg over dl equals to 0. So of course, corresponds to beta g equals to 0. And that's how people find fixed points. Okay. So by the way, people think about this L as like a fictitious time or fictitious something which parametrizes the curve in the space of couplings, how the coupling changes as you go and as you change these scales, right? So you scale the momentum, you scale the distances and stuff like that. So this is precisely called RG flow. So L is like a fictitious time which corresponds to evolution of G in the space of couplings. As we change the scale. Right? As we change what k is. All right, so now please stare at these RG equations which we derived here. And forget about the second term. The second term is something which we had to calculate in the perturbation theory, which you know was something non-trivial. But if you just look at the first term in each of these equations, you see something which is quite nice, and maybe you notice what's happening there. You see that it's 2 times r, and then the second one is epsilon times u. Any ideas what it actually means? Anybody? Sorry?
It's an invention of the
R. Ah, very good. So if you remember, when we calculated the dimensions of these coupling constants, we found that the dimension of the coupling constant R is 2, and we found that the dimension of the coupling constant U is D minus 4, 4 minus D. Okay, so it's epsilon. So this is true in general. In general, you can show that in the leading order, we always find that the beta function, beta of g, is just dimension of that coupling g times g plus the higher order corrections. Okay. So, in some sense, you could immediately write down really the first terms, and all we did in our calculation is just we added the second term for the coupling constant r. Okay? So now, of course, because the beta g is dg over dl, so this is dg over dl, it tells you, so if dimension of this guy is positive, this is bigger than 0, it tells you that actually g is increasing. It's negative, it tells you that it's decreasing. Okay, so dimension of g tells if g increases or decreases, and this is precisely related to this relevance or irrelevance, which corresponds to here. Of the corresponding coupling constant. So at this point, I'm just telling you this. It will be much more clear tomorrow when we really study what's happening with these couplings in the space of couplings. Okay. But anyway, so just remember that really I can immediately write down so dimensional analysis is very simple. So you can always establish the dimensions of the operators of the coupling constants, and then you can write down the first term in this RG equation. So now the work is to find the corrections beyond this thing. And because it's always like that, it tells you, you know, that sort of is related to the relevance or irrelevance of the corresponding coupling constants. All right. So now we have to go to the second order. To find actually interesting physics and to get the Nobel Prize, you have to go to the second order, unfortunately. Yes?
What justifies perturbation theory in you?
What justifies, sorry?
Perturbation theory in you.
We are doing perturbation theory in as interacting. However, we are doing in a certain way. It's not only a perturbation theory in you, it's something a little bit more than that. But yeah, we are doing in perturbation theories in as interacting, if you want. Yeah.
So why is it justified?
So we are doing actually 2 things. We are doing perturbation theory in small epsilon. So we are sort of pretending that we are in 4 dimensions. And then we are doing perturbation theory in small epsilon. But we are also doing perturbation theory in small u. You can do perturbation theory in anything you want, as long as it gives something which actually is good, right?
But I mean, we want to study the Ising model, right?
Yeah.
So what is U for the Ising model?
Okay, so it's something related to the temperatures, right, and stuff like that, and the lattice constants and stuff like that. All you need, all you really know about U is that it's positive. But of course, it can be huge. Yeah. So in that sense, it's not justified. It's a good question. Okay. So now the pain and whatever. Let's go to the second order. So to get another price. We need second order. Of course, that doesn't mean that if you go today to the second order, you'll get the Nobel Prize, unfortunately. Okay. So now, in the second order, we have this minus 1/2 s interacting minus s interacting square. So we need to do minus 1/2 s interaction square minus S interaction square. So now you can start writing down what these terms mean. But actually, this minus, the same thing square, is there very, very convenient. And so what it actually does, it removes all the diagrams which are not connected. So here, this guy can have some connected and non-connected diagrams. So now we have two S's, right? And so we can start connecting them or not. So if you don't connect them, you get diagrams like that. So in the end, they get subtracted. And so the result is just connected diagrams. So this is connected diagrams. And now we can classify them according to how many external slow lags they have. So we can have with 0, 2, 4, and 6 slow lags. Okay. So we have that. So let me just give you an example how this would go. So for example, two lags. So an example, so I have S interacting and another S interacting. So one possibility is that one S interacting looks like something like this. So it has one slow and three fast. And the other S interacting looks like that as well. Okay. So we have, this is first S interacting, this is a second S interacting. And now you want to make an average over the fast modes of this square, well, of this together. So one possibility is that, for example, I connect this guy with that guy and these guys together. So one possibility is, for example, I get this slow, I get a fast, I get slow again, and then I get a fast, and I get a fast here. Another possibility is that you would get, for example, something like this. Okay, so that's another possibility. So now, of course, with each diagram, there comes a annoying factor. So how many diagrams actually are like that? And to calculate that, you really need to calculate the combinatorics of what's happening here. So remember, to write this thing here, I have to choose which one is the slow lag, right? So I have four possibilities. So there's actually four possibilities for that diagram and four possibilities for that diagram. I am choosing which one is the slow lag. So here, that'll be 4 times 4. But then also, I have to choose which one is the one here. Okay, so I'm choosing, let's say I'll choose this one, will be the bottom one, and I have three possibilities for that. And then I have to choose which one out of these is the bottom one. So I have another three possibilities. So 4 times 4 times 3 times 3. It's really choosing which one is the bottom. So choosing these two, choosing this, I get 3 times 3 possibilities. And then you have also this 1/2, which is the prefactor. This 1/2 here. Okay. So in the end, if you calculate this number, hopefully it gives you 72. So there are 72 diagrams like that. And they are the diagram which has 2 slow lags in the end. Okay. So now if you did the counting here, again you have 4 times 4 by connecting this guy with that guy. And then you basically want to connect all three together in some way. And now this is equivalent, so you are choosing always, it's 6 possibilities. So then 1/2 is again the prefactor, and there will be 48 of those diagrams. Okay. And so, of course, these are not the only possibilities. You may start drawing other possibilities as well. But this was just an example of things with... So another example would be, I am, for example, connecting something with just the fast ones, and then I have 2 fast ones and 2 slow ones, and I could get, for example, a diagram like this. A snowman. Well, not really, but almost. A snowman, so this is the slow, and these are the fast ones, and so on. But in the end, if you are looking at this thing here, I always end up with 2 slow lags, right? And so 2 slow lags means that I am only contributing to something which has 2 slow lags. So this is 2 slow lags. So I'm only contributing to the coupling here and to the coupling here. Right, so everything which has 2 lags only contributes to this guy here or to that guy here, or more generally, it contributes to my general form of this thing. So this guy has 2 slow lags. This guy has 4. So now I'm contributing only to R0 tilde or R2 tilde. Okay, so 2 external lags can contribute only to R0 tilde and R2 tilde. Okay, so what it actually mean is that they only contribute to my R thing. But we already have a first order correction to R, so we don't really care about these. What we rather care about is the guys with 4 external lags, with 4 slow lags, because with 4 slow lags, well, they will contribute to R4 tilde, and if they contribute to R4 tilde, they will also contribute to my U coupling, okay? So, find correction to beta u. So that's something which we have only to the first order. So to find the next order, we need 4 lags. And so, for example, you can have a diagram something like this. And now you start connecting these guys. So you will get something like that. Okay. Or, for example, you could have something like that. And, for example, resulting in okay, and many other possibilities. Okay. So these guys have four slow legs, so they will contribute to coupling you. So now you can try to draw many more, but let's just have these two. So now, interestingly, only the first one is interesting, and the second one is not. And the reason is that so you have a vertex here, and you have a vertex here. Okay. So now if you look at this vertex here, something fishy is going on. And the reason is that in each vertex, you have to conserve the total momentum. You have the delta function, delta of sum over ki. Okay. But look here. So I'm entering with the slow mode. Now the fast mode goes out, but it comes in. So that doesn't do anything with the momentum. But then suddenly you are going out with the fast mode. So you cannot conserve momentum here. You have slow mode in and fast mode out. And that's not possible to conserve. Okay, so this guy violates momentum conservation. Momentum conservation because the fast momentum cannot be the slow momentum. So this guy does not contribute. Yes?
Where do corrections to R2-tilde come from? I mean, where do factors of k squared come from?
That's a good question. Think about it. So this guy violates the momentum conservation, but this one does not, because here I have two slow, but then the fast ones are here, but it doesn't. So you cannot exclude this one here. So you actually have to calculate this one here. And so let's do it properly. So I will have k1 coming here, k2 coming here, k3, and k4. And then I'll have q. And then I have to conserve this thing here. So this will be k3 plus k4 minus q. Okay, so we have the diagram. And you can calculate. So first of all, how many such diagrams are there? And you can show that, well, the counting is quite complicated, but not really. So there's six of those. Okay, six of those. And then you have to connect this one with that one. And you have two possibilities. So in the end, you find, and let me see if it's correct. I don't have even the number. So 6 times 6 is 36. The number is 6 times 6 times 2. You can either go this guy or that guy times 1/2. So there should be 36 of these diagrams here. So now if you write it, what this picture means, it means, well, you have two vertices, one here, another here. So you have u over 4 factorial square. Then you have 36 of those. And then you have an integral. OK, let me just write it down. k1 to k4, and then 2 pi power d delta k1 plus k2 plus k3 plus k4. I already did integrate over something phi smaller than k1, phi slow k2, phi slow k3, phi slow k4. So that's what I see these guys here, these external legs. And then you will have two propagators. You will have a propagator with the momentum q, and then you will have a propagator with k3 plus k4 minus q. So then you have g0 of q, and then g0 of, and also write it in terms of k1 and k2, k3 plus k4 minus q, for example. And then you have also an integral over q here. Okay, so this is what the diagram means. So now we will do one more simplification, which is again completely not justifiable, really. So you see that this guy depends only on q, but this guy depends on k3, k4, and q. Okay. However, k3 and k4 are slow modes. So to get the first feeling of what's happening here is that I say, well, q is the fast mode. Let's make it much bigger than these guys. Okay, so I'll approximate this guy with g0 of minus q, because these are slow and these are fast. Of course, that's not correct, because they are only, you know, slightly different, because we are taking b goes to 1, although above. But anyway, so let's just get something so that you can actually calculate. So we can do g0 of q. But of course, g0 of minus q is the same as g0 of plus q, because it just depends on q squared. Okay, so then you can actually separate the integral over q separately. It's just an integral of g0 q squared. Okay, so this is equal to u over 4 factorial square times 36 times this integral k1 to k4 2 pi d delta. And then phi slow, phi slow, phi slow, phi slow. And then times the integral 2. So that is not the same integral as we had before. Well, this integral 2 is just an integral over q of g0 square of q. OK. So this is an integral from lambda over b to lambda. And then again, everything depends only on q squared. So you can do the spherical coordinates. So sd 2 pi to power d qd minus 1 dq divided by r plus q squared squared. And again, using the same thing, is that it's the length of the interval times the value. So it's delta L times SD 2 pi to power d, and then lambda d, and then r plus lambda square square. So now the statement is, this is the only diagram which actually contributes for our u. Well, then the correction. To R4 tilde, which comes from this S tilde, is just whatever we had before was U over 4 factorial we had before. But now we have that contribution, which is U over 4 factorial square times 36, but with a minus sign, because it's minus that. So it's minus U over 4 factorial square times 36. Times this I2. Okay. And so this is R4 tilde 4 factorial. So U tilde is now R4 tilde B to 4 minus D. Eta is still equal to 0. And this is given by U minus 3 halves U square I2 times V4 minus D. That's the recursion relation. And if you write down what this I2 is, which we calculated over there, then you are getting the final RG equations where there are first order corrections to both R and U. And it's given by the following formula. dr over dl equals to beta r equals to 2r plus u over 2. Let me do it this way. It's r plus lambda square. And then du over dl is beta u is epsilon times u minus 3 halves. U square AD R plus lambda square, where KD is just a shorthand for SD divided by 2 pi to power D lambda to power D. Okay, and so these are the corrected RG equations if you include the second order corrections to you. Okay. So I omitted one step, but I hope it's clear where it comes from. So so this thing you recognize is basically this I2, right? So it's R plus lambda square. Now I call that just KD. And then 1 over 4 factorial square times 36. Actually, happens to be 3 halves. And so this is the result.
No anomalous dimension?
Sorry?
No anomalous dimension?
That's a good question. So here, I just was trying to find the first correction to, and this is probably inconsistent, I agree with that. So we would have to do all these diagrams, so we would have to calculate how it contributes in, you know, in two legs and how it contributes other things. And then you could pick up the anomalous dimension. So here, I was just, you know, doing inconsistently and just finding the first correction to the U thing, provided that I still believe that eta is equal to 0. Yeah, so this may not be inconsistent. I'm not saying this is exact result. I'm just saying this is the minimum I have to do to get some interesting physics. Okay? So, it's a good question. You can check what happens when you calculate all these diagrams, but whether the animal's dimension is still zero or not. And so because you asked, so it's a problem for you guys. Give me the diagrams which contribute to the k-square term. So tell me which diagrams, so it's your homework, not now. Tell me which diagrams actually would change coupling in front of k-square. Anyway, are there any other questions?
Where did that minus sign come from?
It comes from the minus sign for the interacting thing. So is still here. Is this minus sign, minus one half, it's that minus sign there.
Can you try and give the argument why Q is larger than K3 plus
Q4? Oh, of course it's not. Of course it doesn't have to be, unless really you say that the Q is really very fast mode, which is much, much faster. The momentum is much, much higher than for the slow modes. But if you actually don't do that approximation, you cannot really calculate anything. So really, it's not. It's not, but people do this approximation.
But isn't it here just the summing over all k's, which are slow?
Yeah, but you know, in that case, I wouldn't be able really to say. So I can keep it here as in the integral, but then I'm not really getting a number which would stand in front of that integral. So that's why people do this. I don't think it's valid at all, but people do that. Yeah, for some reason. Yeah.
So I think I'm less upset about all these approximations, and the thing that I'm upset about is I have no idea the notion of irrelevant or relevant dimensions. Like, I still don't get your...
Because I still haven't explained anything.
Oh, I thought you were...
No. So I just told you this relevance, and the relevance is related to what you are getting in these RG things. Yeah.
Like, for example...
No, so tomorrow, wait for tomorrow, and it will be a little bit more clear, but I will not really explain it, so don't worry.
A question that would make sense for this class is, why don't we consider the diagrams with just 8 slow legs? Like, why can't... why are these neglected? Like, there'd be 8 slow 5.
So 8 you cannot have, but you can have 6, for example. So if you look at this thing here, so what I'm saying is that, of course, this guy here can have 8 things.
Right.
So I could have this, and I could have that,
mm-hmm.
And that has 8, right? But the problem is that this thing here precisely subtract that diagram out of that, right? So this diagram is not connected, and this term takes care of non-connected diagrams. So only the connected diagrams are left. And so if you want to connect, you have to connect at least 2 legs. So that's why you can have at most 4 slow legs in the expansion. But yeah, sorry, at most 6 legs. So then, for example, you could have a diagram something like this. Okay. Of course, what it would give a contribution to would be a coupling V phi to the 6. And so what I'm trying to argue for, although I don't explain anything, is that this is irrelevant coupling. And so that's why this thing is not really interesting. Other questions? Well, so this is really fun stuff, but it's also difficult. So take your time to go through things. But you will have a great opportunity to study this in detail by yourself. You will get a beautiful homework, but you will have to actually repeat everything here in much more complicated case. So thank you very much.